All right, welcome back. Thank you for being part of our services again tonight here at South Haven Baptist Church. We'll continue our foundation study this evening. We've been in here for a few months now, enjoying what the Lord's been helping us with. We've been just looking at some foundations of the Christian life, some essential needs of the Christian life, some essential parts of the Christian life, and also looking at some things, you know, why are we a Baptist church is some of the subjects we've tackled. But tonight we'll continue our look at studying our Bibles and why that's essential and needed in our Christian life. And so we'll continue that study, but thank you once again for being with us this evening. We pray that the next few moments, through the teaching and the preaching and the singing, that the Lord will be a blessing and an encouragement to you, help you during this time. Just remember, we love you, and we're praying for you.
Look up. it worth the wait. Welcome home. Step through the gate. Oh, what joy, what reward when I see my blessed Lord and to bow before those nail-scarred feet and praise His holy name. For my sin will be no more, and our hearts will never break. Oh, the bride awaits to hear the groom to say these precious words. Come on home. Promise you, welcome home. You're here for good. Now look around. Was it worth the wait? Welcome home. Step through. Step through the gates.
Well, praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles tonight. We'll be back in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. Kind of been our theme verse here for the past few weeks as we've looked at studying our Bible. And I'm just glad this evening, and I've said it so many times before, I'm just glad to have a Bible this evening. Glad to have the Word of God that I can study, have the Word of God that I can lean on and trust in and glean from and just draw encouragement from. I'm glad that it's a well that'll never run dry. You could literally preach and study this Bible every day of your life, every moment of your life, and never exhausted. There'd be something new, there would be something encouraging, there'd be a new type and a new picture that you'd probably see that you haven't seen before. And it's just, it just amazes me as we read the Bible. I can't tell you how many times I've read certain verses, and it's just like they're brand new. Like, how long have those been in the Bible? Well, they've been there since God put them in there, and I praise the Lord for that this evening. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the precious people who are able to be a part of our service. Lord, we thank you for the sunrise service we had this morning and the morning service. Lord, just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to just hang up and quit, God, but we can continue on. God, we may have to change our methods and our ways of getting the preaching out and the singing out, but Lord, you've blessed it and Lord, you've used it, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I just pray, Father, Lord, you continue to move tonight, that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary. I just pray, Lord, that you would help me to teach with clarity and understanding this evening, Lord. I just know that, Lord, sometimes these things can get confusing, these things can get us going in weird directions, Lord, and make us feel like we're spinning around. But Lord, you've designed the Word of God to be studied, and Lord, you want it to be studied. And I just pray, Lord, this method, Lord, that we're teaching would be one that would be effective and help us, Lord, to get the truth from God's Word. Help us to look at it like that mine with all those precious gems in it. God, help us, Lord, to dig everyone out, God, and find it for the glory of God. We love you. We thank you this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So we will continue again tonight. And remember, last week we learned about the propositional phrase or the propositional statement. And we learned that normally it falls in one of two categories. Typically, I'm talking probably about 98.7% of the time, it's going to fall in one of those two categories. It's going to be either a proposition of ability, and it's in that proposition of ability is going to tell you how to do something, or the Word of God is instructing you or teaching you how to do something. And remember that propositional phrase, it'll contain the words can and by. Every Christian can serve the Lord by completing the following task. So it's telling you how to do something. That's the proposition of ability. And what was the other proposition? It was the proposition of obligation. If you said obligation, you're absolutely correct. If you said anything else, we're going to keep working on that this evening, all right? Proposition of obligation. That is not when the Word of God is telling you how to do something, but it is telling you why you need to be doing something, or why you should be doing something or not doing something. And it'll probably, and that propositional phrase will always contain the words should and because. Every Christian should praise the Lord because He's been so good to us, and He's blessed us, and He's been a friend in a time of trouble, and He's just protected and guided us. And you could keep listing the reasons why we should, but you see the point. One is telling us how to do something, and the other one is telling us why we're going to do something. You're saying, well, preacher, I understand that, but I'm still trying to grasp the concept. Well, don't worry. Tonight what we're going to do is we're going to continue just to take this piece by piece, take this time by time. We're not going to step into anything new, so to speak, tonight, or begin anything new tonight. We're going to continue to practice on determining and finding and figuring out what is the not just the subject, the theme, but also the propositional phrase of portions of Scriptures that we may be studying. And if you haven't yet, and if you're still working on them, and you're probably thinking to yourself, well, I don't think this is good enough. I don't think preachers are going to like this. Whatever you've done so far, whatever you've tried to do, would you send that to me, get it to me, and it'll be a great encouragement to me. I'm thankful for there's been some men in our church and even some ladies that have been working at this, but I've been able to hear back from some people that what they're studying, what the Lord's allowing them, and what the Lord's speaking to them through His Word. And that's an encouragement and a blessing. So if you have, a portion of Scripture, and you've wrote down a subject, and you've wrote down a theme, and you probably even took a stab at a propositional statement, but you're probably thinking, well, preachers won't get mad at me because this probably ain't right. Listen, there was a time in my life where all this was still brand new to me, and I haven't figured it out, and I still haven't got it all figured out. I haven't yet to master the Bible. But as far as the setup of it, if you'd like some help with that, please send that to me. I guarantee you, I'm not going to read it and say, you are absolutely dumb. This is so incorrect. But I'll do my best to help you so we can all see what the Word of God has for us. And listen, your willingness and desire to study will be an encouragement to me as well. So take your Bibles tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to go from 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. That's what our verse that we've been using, kind of like our memory verse or our theme verse for this portion of the study of foundations. But we're going to look at three portions of Scripture tonight, and we're going to determine the subject, we're going to determine the theme, and then we're going to determine the proposition and the propositional phrase. We'll give an example of one. So take your Bibles tonight, turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. And if you went to camp this year, this portion of Scripture will be awfully familiar to you. Awfully familiar to you. Matthew chapter number 7. It would help. I was in the book of Mark. That wasn't making sense. Matthew chapter number 7. I'm just about there. Look at the preacher. I'm definitely not winning this sword drill this evening. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? To give good things to them that ask. So as you're reading through this, and you probably, we've read through it once tonight, I'd encourage you as you're studying to read through things multiple times, not just one time and just kind of take a stab at it, but read through it, let the Word of God, just kind of meditate and work in your heart and in your mind, and then you develop that subject. Remember, that subject's that one word that describes the portion of text that you just read, which was Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And my subject, I wrote down needs. Needs. And I'll tell you why, because what we see here, you could probably say giving or gifts, no doubt that would fine, or that would, that's a good subject as well. But the reason why I wrote down needs is if you look at verse number 9 and verse number 10, it says, what man is there of you whom his son asks bread? And then the next verse, ask a fish. Those are two needs. Those were supplements. That was a dietary need of that day. And so we're asking not just for things that they wanted, but for things they need. So my subject would be needs. Now my theme would be, well, what are these portions of Scripture saying about needs? My theme would be this: getting or asking for what I need from the Lord. It'd probably be more of getting what I need from the Lord. Aren't you glad that we're able to get what we need from the Lord? That is a possibility. Not only is it a possibility, it's a reality. How many of y'all could raise your hand tonight and say, the Lord has been good to me. He's more than blessed me, but He's made sure to give me absolutely everything that I need. I praise the Lord for that this evening. So my subject would be need. My theme would be getting what I need from the Lord. Now, as you're reading through this, verses 7 through 11, we're going to read through it again. And as we're reading through it, I want you to ask yourself, is this asking or is this telling me what to do or is this telling me why I should do it? Look at verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And as I was studying this and as I was preparing, I wrote down that this was a proposition of ability. Or this portion of Scripture was telling me how I can get what I need from the Lord. Well, preacher, how did you come up with it? How did you see that, preacher? Well, if you look at verse number 7, we see three words. They're one word, but there's three of them, and they're all three actions. They're all three things that you and I can do, and you and I understand what we're being directed to do. And the first one's ask. The second one is seek. And the third one is knock. And so if I was studying this out, if I was preparing a message to preach through this study, my propositional phrase would sound something like this. Every Christian can get what they need from God by completing the following steps. Every Christian can get what they need from God by completing the following steps. And that's right out of verse number 7. There's three steps right here. Three actions that if you complete, God has promised and God has taught us this is how we get what we need. Look at the first one. Ask. Ask. That's such a simple word. Ask. How many times has somebody done something that has absolutely maybe wore them out, or something like that and just caused bodily harm? Who knows what it is? And you have that skill set and you have that ability, but you had no idea they had a need. And the reason why you didn't know and you didn't have any inkling to go help them is because they did not ask you for help. And so many times in our Christian life, we forget the simplicity of asking and remembering to ask. Now, I'm thankful that God blesses us with the needs that we don't ask for, that we fail to forget. When's the last time you asked God for every breath, for an example of that? But aren't you glad that we have the ability to ask, that we can actually go to Him and say, Lord, can I please, and Lord, if it's in your will, would you please do this for me, or would you provide this for me, or Lord, I have this need, and I can't meet it by my own ability, but Lord, I know that you can, and I'm asking you, Lord, that you can do that. We can come before Him boldly to ask, to ask of His power, and to ask of His might, and His ability to provide. We can do all of that. We have the ability to ask. Let me ask you tonight, when's the last time you remembered to ask God for something? And so we know that we can get what we need, one, by asking. It's an action. We can do it by asking and then seeking. Look what he says in verse number 7. Seek and ye shall find. Aren't you glad that God's not going to lead us on a wild goose chase? No, when we come to the Lord asking for a need, and it may not be even a physical need, but Lord, I'm struggling with discouragement. Lord, I'm struggling with the inability to seemingly fit in. God, I'm asking that you help me with that. Aren't you glad that we have someone we can look for an answer? That we don't have to go outside and look at the clouds and wait and say, well, hopefully one day those clouds will form into my answer. No, we can seek the Word of God. We can seek in the Word of God. We can literally open up the Word of God and begin to seek the answer that we... Aren't you glad that God can speak to us and help us when we're seeking in His Word this evening? So one, we can ask. And then we can seek. And then the third action here, knock. Look what he says in verse number 7. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And I remember when I was even preparing for this this evening, but especially preparing for summer camp. Like, ask, I get that. You ask. Seek, I get that. You know, you seek in the Word of God. Knock. That one threw me for a loop. Knock. Because it to me, it seemingly doesn't fit in. Ask. Hey, can I help this? Or, Lord, I need help with this. And I'm seeking in your Word. The action didn't make sense to me there in the immediate interpretation, so to speak. But let me ask you this question concerning knocking. When you knock on someone's door, do you knock with the anticipation that they're not going to be home? I mean, do you just walk up to random neighborhoods and just knock on doors and say, well, I hope nobody's in there? No, you knock with the anticipation that somebody's going to open the door for you. So we ask and we seek, but it's more than just asking. Because listen, you can ask questions in doubt. And you can seek in doubt. I'm going to flip through my Bible, but I guarantee you I'm not going to find what God has for me. But I'm seeking. Well, you are, but you're seeking and you're asking with the wrong attitude. We need to ask and seek with a knocking attitude or an attitude of anticipation. That, Lord, I've asked you, and Lord, I'm seeking, and Lord, I can't wait to find and see the solution or the need that you're going to meet for me. And so when we ask, we seek, and we knock. So every Christian can get what they need by completing the following step. Ask, seek, and then anticipate. Wait for God to answer. And be excited. Not like, well, I don't think God's ever going to answer, but I'm willing to wait. But, well, I mean, I'm waiting. I'm excited. I can't wait to see how God's going to answer. So Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, our subject was needs. Our theme was getting what I need from the Lord. It was an ability. It's telling us how we can get what we need. And my propositional phrase was every Christian can get what they need from God by completing the following steps. So number one was Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Now I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Let's see if you can beat me. I'm at least in the right book. Psalm 105, there. Did you beat me? Psalm 105. And then we'll look at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 105. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Those first three verses, all that we're going to deal with in Psalm 105, you know, it's in its entirety, it's 45 verses. And I honestly believe you could probably take down all 45 verses, study that out, and you could find one word to summarize that. But looking at these first three verses, the subject that I came up with was praise. Was praise. And once again, you say, well, preacher, that word isn't in there. I didn't see the word praise. Now remember, the subject may not always be mentioned by word or in actual word form in the verse. But my subject was praise. Well, how did you come to that, preacher? Because I see the actions of praise. I see some things that when I read those, I think praise. Somebody in this psalm, in Psalm 105, is praising the Lord. And so we see the subject was praise. My theme would be praising the Lord because he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." So we see that praise is to be directed to the Lord. And aren't you glad this evening we have the ability to praise the Lord this evening? So we see the praise, the subject of praise, the theme is praising the Lord. And I'm pretty sure I just gave away my answer, but is this an ability or an obligation? Is the psalmist here telling us why we should praise the Lord? Remember last week we looked at that, I think it was Psalm 103, where we seen that we should praise the Lord because of some benefits. Or is he here in Psalms 105 telling us how to praise the Lord? Well, let's read it real quick. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory in ye in His holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Now, there wasn't benefits this time, and nor was there some obligations here, that some things that we should praise the Lord before. We should praise the Lord because His mercy endureth forever. Or we should praise the Lord because His love is everlasting, or His truth endureth for all generations. Those reasons aren't here, but there are some actions, isn't there? There's some actions right here in Psalms 105. Well, how are some ways, so this is a proposition of ability. He's telling us how we can praise the Lord. So my propositional phrase would sound like this. Every Christian can praise the Lord by participating in the following actions of praise. So with the first one I see tonight, verse number 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Call upon His name. Did you know you can praise the Lord by talking to Him? By calling upon His name? I mean, you may not have been able to do it, and you may not have been able to hear it lately because we haven't been in the church house, but you ever heard anybody just call upon the name of the Lord? You ever seen somebody just get a bad case and they can't help it? I mean, and the preacher's preaching or the singer's singing and the melody's just right and they're hitting the notes just right, and out of nowhere all you hear is, well, praise the Lord. They're just talking to Him. They're calling to Him. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. They're calling out to Him. Yes, we can pray, but we can also praise when we call out to Him. Aren't you glad? Here's the thing. It's not limited to the church house. I'm glad when people praise in the church house. I'm glad when people call out to Him in the church house. But every now and again, I find myself calling out to Him driving down the road, sitting at the house, working outside, running the lawnmower, running the weed eater. Whatever I may be doing, no matter where we are, we have the ability to call unto God and call out to Him and just tell Him thank you and praise Him for what He's done in our life. So we see that we can praise the Lord by talking to Him. And look at verse number 2. Now everybody's about to get nervous. Look at verse number 2. Sing unto Him. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. So not only can we talk to Him, not only can we call out to Him when we're praising Him, but we can praise Him through song. We can praise Him through song. And I thank the Lord for people that have the talent to sing. I'm grateful for that. It's easy on our ears, and I praise the Lord for that. But I'm more as just grateful for people who sing from their heart. And they may not hit every key right. They may not even know what the key is. But they're just enjoying singing to the Lord. Now, I am one of those people. If I get to singing, I'll probably be the only one enjoying it. Everybody else will be laughing, or everybody else will be doing like, boy, I wish he'd just hush, because I can't stand. I mean, listen, I don't even know what keys are. Besides the ones that you use to unlock locks on doors and cars and turns cars on. That's the only kind of keys that I know about. I don't know what a melody is. I met a lady named Melody one time, and I definitely don't have no rhythm. And I can't hear the different things and all that. But I can still sing to the Lord. Can I say sometimes I've sang, and it's been so personal to me, it's brought me to tears. Because I'm just so thankful, and I'm willing to praise the Lord through song. Aren't you glad that God gave you a song? Let me ask you, when's the last time you sang unto Him? I mean, not in church and not in a production sort of sense, but in a personal sense. You just found yourself maybe humming a tune or singing a song quietly, and you've just rejoiced and praised the Lord through song. Aren't you glad that we can sing to Him this evening? As a matter of fact, listen, He's not as judgmental as me and you are. He said, when me and you make a joyful noise, oh, He likes it. He loves it. He enjoys it. And praise the Lord for that. So we can praise the Lord by talking to Him. We can praise the Lord by singing to Him. And then we see a third action here in verse number 2. It says, talk ye of all His wondrous works. So we can praise the Lord by calling to Him. We can praise the Lord by singing to Him. But we can also praise the Lord by telling others about Him. No, preacher, that's called witnessing. Well, it is called that. But did you know when you're witnessing and you're telling others about Christ, you're praising the Lord in the midst of it? Because listen, what you're telling them is, listen, you're a sinner. And without Christ, you have no hope. But praise the Lord, He died for you. Praise the Lord that He gave His life for you on the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord that He paid your sin debt. Can I say one of the greatest forms of praise that me and you can do is by telling others about Christ. See, it's one thing for me and you to be standing in the same room and for you to give me a compliment. I appreciate that. But when me and you are miles apart and I'm not anywhere around, and then you give me a compliment that I'll probably never hear, that means a lot. That means you are actually grateful for whatever I've done for you. And the same is true when we're sharing the gospel and we're telling others about Christ. We're literally praising the Lord and saying we're so thankful for what He did that I'm able to share it with somebody else. And so we see tonight that Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3, is an ability. He's telling us how to praise the Lord. He says that we can praise the Lord by singing, We can praise the Lord by calling to Him or calling on Him, or we can also praise the Lord by sharing and telling others about Christ. When's the last time you just praised the Lord? I mean, you just toned out and tuned out everything else that was going on, and you tuned in on what was important in your life, that Jesus Christ saved you. When's the last time you just praised Him for what He's been doing in your life and what He's already done in your life? So we see that we can praise the Lord. We see that we can ask God for our needs. And notice number three tonight. Take your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15. If you've ever been to Hobby Lobby, you know what verse I'm going to, because it's on about 900 different signs there. But Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 15. And it's a great verse in our Bible. There's just some verse, I mean, every verse in our Bible is great. Every verse in our Bible is wonderful. But aren't you, I don't know about you, there's just some verses that resonate with us. Some verses that I mean, you just read them and it makes you want to do something for the glory of God. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to do. You just want to do something for God. But look at chapter number 24, verse number 15 of Joshua. The Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I mean, that's just one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It just makes you want to, like I said, I may not even know the facets and the depth by which I'm going to serve the Lord, but that verse makes me right there. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do it. But I want to ask you this evening as we're going through this. My subject would have been choices. Choices. Choices, because He says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And then my theme would be making the choice to serve the Lord. I mean, because he's kind of outlined it. He said, "Hey, listen, boys." I don't know if that's how Joshua actually talked, but he said, "Hey, listen up. You're going to choose to serve somebody. Which one's it going to be? And make a choice. Choose now." Because he didn't give him any time to really think about it. He said, "You're going to make a choice, and we're going to go. We ain't going to lollygag. We ain't going to filibuster this. You're going to make a choice whether to go or not, whether to serve or not." And so my theme is making the choice to serve the Lord. Now let me ask you, is this telling us how to make that choice? Well, how do you make that choice? Does it say, well, you make that choice by faith? Or you make that choice by reading the Bible? Or you make that choice by pursuing the enemy? He's not necessarily telling us how to make a choice, but He is telling us why we should choose to serve the Lord. And you're looking at me and you're saying, "Preacher, I don't see that anywhere." Let's read through it one more time, and then I'll bring out do my best to show you how I came to that conclusion. Look at verse number 15 again. "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," ain't it crazy that it seemed evil to some people to serve the Lord, "choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so this isn't necessarily a how to serve the Lord. This is a why to. So it's an obligation. And so my propositional phrase would sound like this. Every person should choose to serve the Lord because of the following inabilities of the other gods that we could possibly serve, or the other false gods. And you say, "Well, preacher, where do you see that?" Because if you look at verse number 15, there's three gods, so to speak, that are mentioned. There's two that are false gods, and then there's one true God. And Joshua says, "I'm going to serve the Lord, the true and living God." And so me and you should follow suit because of the inability of the other two gods. Well, what's their inabilities, preacher? How did you get all this out of one verse? And now, remember I said we're not learning this for knowledge, but gaining knowledge according to the historical facts of Scripture and the chronological order of the Bible, you know, those are great because that's where these things come in to help. It helps you better understand your Bible as you're learning how to apply it to your own life. So look at verse number 15. And so he says, "Choose ye this day whom you'll serve." Now here's the first God. "Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood." Now Joshua could have been referencing Egypt, Or he could have even gone back further to the gods they served before the day of Noah. And we know the days of Noah and everybody's thoughts and imaginations were wickedness. And Joshua says, hey, listen, you can go back and serve those gods. Though you will not go back to Egypt, you can serve the gods of Egypt. Or though you can't go back to a world that existed before the flood, you can serve the gods that they serve. But here's the thing. When you serve those gods, you're serving gods that are unable to deliver. They're unable to get you out of a crisis situation. Because, listen, the gods of Egypt didn't help Pharaoh. Pharaoh and his army died when the Red Sea collapsed inside of them. And all the other gods that were being served in the days of Noah, how many of those gods led those other men to build an ark that saved them when the world flooded? Now, there's only one God that can deliver. There's only one God that can save me and you out of crisis situations. And that's the God Joshua's encouraging and charging the nation of Israel to serve. We should serve him because he got us out of Egypt. He got Noah through the flood. And so we should serve the God who is able to deliver. So we should serve God because he's the God who's able to deliver. But notice there's another set of gods that are mentioned. And so we see, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. Now here's the other set, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. We know, so they've come to the Red Sea, and now they're marching towards Canaan. Joshua would be victorious and all that. But we know the promise that God gave them, that God would defeat all of their foes, and God would conquer all of their enemies, and they would get a land that they did not fight for, so to speak. They'd get a land that was given to them by God, and God would do that by defeating the enemies that were around him. You know, we even see this in the Battle of Jericho. That they marched around the wall 7 times and then the walls came down, because that is the poster child of how to fight a battle. Just march around the walls until they fall down. But that's what they did. That's what happened. But here's what Joshua's saying. Listen, don't serve the gods who can't deliver, and don't serve the gods who are already defeated. Do you realize the gods of the Amorites in whose land they dwell have already been defeated by the true and living God? God's already made the declaration that he was going to give this land to Israel, that he was going to conquer not just the people of the land, but he was going to conquer the gods of the land to prove himself to be the true and living God. Not that he had to, but that he was willing to do so. But notice this. Listen, you can either serve a God who can't deliver you, or you can serve a God who's already defeated. That's why people who turn to things like drugs and alcohol, pornography, you name it, whatever they turn to, whatever becomes their God, if it is not the true and living God, it only leads to defeat. Even popularity, money, wealth, you name it, anything besides the true and living God will lead you to defeat. Why? Because it's already been defeated. Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. Every world or every God that this world has to offer has already been defeated. I don't care who it is. I don't care when they came from. I don't care what they're saying. If they're not the true and living God, they've already been defeated. I don't care what place they hold in history. I don't care how many people they have following them. If they're not the true and living God, they've already been defeated. And so we should not choose to serve a God who can't deliver us, because listen, we need deliverance. We're sinners. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We are in a crisis outside of Christ, and all the other gods, all they're going to do is give us a momentary lapse, so to speak. But in reality, they are not going to deliver us. They're going to take us down a even worse road than what we can think of. So don't serve the God who can't deliver, and don't serve the gods who have already been defeated. What good is a defeated God when you need a victory? What good is a defeated team if you need a win? I'm a Green Bay Packers fan and a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan. As much as I want them to win, if the game's over and they lost, they're defeated. They were defeated by whomever they played. And so there ain't no point in me saying, well, you know, we would have won that game. It doesn't matter. They already lost. And so listen, you're saying, preacher, no, you just need to give them the chance. You need to try them. No, if it's not the true and living God, they are already defeated. And so if me and you are going to serve the Lord, if me and you are going to choose which God to serve, we should choose the one that has no inabilities, the one that has no shortcomings, the one that has no faults, the one that makes no excuses, the one that has all power, the one that has all might. We should serve the living God because He does not fall short like the other gods. The other gods cannot deliver, and the other gods were already defeated. And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will. We are going to choose to serve the Lord because of what He's already done and what He is going to do. So we've seen our subject was choices. Our theme was making the choice to serve the Lord. It was a proposition of obligation that we should serve the Lord because of the following reasons. Because the other false gods are defeated and they cannot deliver. So I'd encourage you tonight to continue to stick at it. Find you a portion of Scripture. Start with Psalms. Find you one Psalm and read it 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 until you can get a subject. And then read it and read it and read it and read it until you get a theme. And then read it and read it and read it until you get the proposition. Is it telling you how to do something or is it telling you why you should do something? And then write that down and send those to me. Please do that. It would be such a blessing and such an encouragement. And listen, as we're going through this, if you have any questions, even if you don't have the scripture, so to speak, if you have a question concerning this, hey, get those to me. I'll do my best to answer those things and help you out. Because listen, as I've said so many times before, I want you to have a personal relationship with the Word of God, because that will absolutely change your Christian life. Not just change it, but it's essential. It is necessary for you to grow as a Christian. But thank you for listening this evening. Let's be closed in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. And I just pray, Father, Lord, that you'd bless this time. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to study it. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another from it. Help us, Lord, to glean from it. Help us, Lord, to let it straighten us out and get us right. Just thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and all that it can do in our life. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.